living for this. Welcome to the Power Hour with Trash Canyon. How you doing, brother?
What the hell was that?
A little wake up for all the late nighters out in Atlantic Canada who are joining us, because yours truly dropped the ball on the BS show tonight. So we pulled the equipment down the hall, stuffed it in front of you, and said, let's rock it. Power Hour, Trash Canyon, open lines, 310-742-1799. Anything, MMA, wrestling, combat sports, this is the guru. We're going to pick his brain tonight. We're going to let him rock it all night long. I'm ready.
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, when Boyd Sharp hears that fucking intro, he is going to have a coronary. And you're responsible, brother. You did this.
I think it was perfect. I wanted to wake everyone up, let them know that they're about to hear the words of a legend, a living legend to me. Somebody I look up to, respect, and love watching perform in front of the fans, beating people up, training, screaming, crying, the whole works. And tonight, man, we got a lot we could talk about. I thought I'd let you just start running with it, man. I know that started talking a little bit, and I want you to tell this story to the fans. So explain to me why you got into a bar fight and then ended up in a car with that man for 2 weeks. How did this all go down?
Dude, here you are talking out of school again, right? This is not the way it goes down. But all, listen, I will fill you in on that, but just one sec. But right off the top, I actually have to talk about something a little bit serious, Skip, okay? I'm not even joking. I'm being 100% serious. I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but last week in Canada, we had some homegrown terrorist attacks and in our nation's capital, and it was pretty devastating for all Canadians, Atlantic Canadians, and Canadians right across the country. And here in Atlantic Canada, we have a tremendous amount of military in this area, a lot of the folks that we train with and whatnot. And quite simply, what we had was a group of extremists that had targeted Canadian military and basically just murdered them in cold blood because they had their uniform on. And I just wanted to mention that and to everybody out there listening that our thoughts go with Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent and Corporal Nathan Cirillo. For losing their life in protection of this country. So just want to get that out of the way, Skip, and put a mention out on that, and then we'll get down and have a little fun, brother. You still there, my friend?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know about that, Dan. That kind of caught me off guard there, you know. I'm really sorry to hear that, and best, you know, to the families of anybody injured or hurt or lives taken. So, you know, that's crazy. I'll be honest, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a big deal, obviously, up here. And I know that there was a baseball game or a hockey game in Pittsburgh that they played the national anthem during that. You know, a lot of the
hey, hold on a second. I got a really bad, like, breakup right there. I started losing you. It was getting all wobbly sounding.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we had a couple of our military that were taken down last week, and it caught quite a bit of coverage around the world, and I just wanted to put a shout-out to everybody that serves our country in the military. So, anyways, my man,
without business. Dude, without saying, you know, who's who in this story, I got to know, why were you fighting them?
Why? Are we back to the original story now?
Dude, I got to know why, at least why you got in a fight with this guy. I mean, was it over a woman? Was it over, like, just ego? Like, was it who's badder?
No,
I mean,
okay, all right. Here's the story. We were on the road and I don't know how many years ago this was now, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, and there was a hurricane or something that had hit us, and we were on a tour. We were traveling around Nova Scotia doing a wrestling tour, and we were going to head over to Newfoundland, and we were going to spend a week over there. So we'd done a few shows around here. The hurricane hit. We couldn't get the ferry to go across to Newfoundland. So we got a hold of.
I don't know where you were a second ago, but you were perfectly sounding.
Okay. How about right here? I must have some dead spots here.
Yeah, it's just like it breaks out and comes right back in real fast, so it sounds like, you know, like a strobe light on your voice. I could understand what you're saying, but it just wasn't super clear, and I want to make sure that everybody gets to enjoy this story, because I got a feeling it's a barn burner.
Oh, okay. So anyway, we couldn't get the ferry across to Newfoundland, so we were holed up in this little motel there. I don't know how many wrestlers were there, probably about 20 on tour or so, and you got the road crew and the whole nine yards. So anyway, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was supposed to join the tour to head over to Newfoundland. So we had been hanging around the hotel all day, and of course the boys were going down the road, going to the bar and whatnot. And I was just sitting around the motel, I was having a few drinks there, and I decided later on I was going to go over to the bar and have a few drinks there. So Hacksaw Jim Duggan had landed, and from what I heard, he had a pretty good glow going when he arrived, and he went right directly to the bar. So when we connected, now we're on the same wrestling tour, when we connected, it was probably about 10:30 that night or something, or maybe about 11 o'clock, I'm not sure. So anyway, I walked into the bar, and at that time I was carrying the strap, I had the belt. So I come in, and the promoter walks over, and he goes, Trash. He goes, I want to introduce you to the Hacksaw. I said, no problem. I walked over, and he got me.
Dude, you're breaking up right there when you said you had the strap. You started going blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so anyway, go over to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and this great big son of a bitch stands up off the table, man, and I look up at this guy, and the promoter said the stupidest thing in the world. He goes, Hacksaw, he said, I want to introduce you to the champ. Now, Hacksaw's got about half a glow going right now, and he gets that crazy look on his face.
We gotta refix your connection. Let me call you right back, because it's just breaking up too much.
All right, brother.
Let me call you right back. Okay, folks, we're going to try calling him right back right now. Look at this, live on air. We're not even going to mess around. And then I believe we have some callers who are going to join us. But I want to be able to hear that story.
Hello?
Hey, that's good. Okay, so he's got a glow on. He says, I want you to meet the champ.
Yeah, which is the stupidest thing the guy ever could have said in a million years. So Hacksaw stands up, and I don't know how big the son of a bitch is, but he's a good 6'6", 6'7", big mammoth of a man, and his eyes are rolling all over the place like the goddamn Cookie Monster, and he goes, champ, don't look like no champ to me. Of course, I'm standing there all 5'7" of me, right? And I'm like... And I said, dude, I said, I don't know who you think you are, but there's no way to talk to me. And he goes, well, I'm going to say you don't look like any champ to me. And I said, well, you know what? You can go fuck yourself, old man. And the next thing you know, tables were flying and chairs were flying and spit was flying. But I get up the next so I'm heading back to my room. I remember heading back to my room. Old Bushwhacker Luke sticks his head out and he goes, hey, bye, I heard you had a problem with Jimmy. And I said, well, yeah, I got a little heated. And he goes, don't mind him. He gets a little riled up when he gets on the hard liquor, right? So the next morning I wake up, and I got about half a hangover, and I was roomed up with Sexton Phoenix, and Sexton looks over at me and goes, man, you got to go up with Duggan. He goes, that's bad, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I opened the motel door, and I look out, and he's standing out in the parking lot. And my heart sank. I was like, oh, my God, man, what was I thinking? So I walk up this big giant of a man. I go, Jim, my name's Rick. I said, I think we got off a little bad foot last night. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, no worries, Mike. He goes, I get a little crazy when I get on the hard liquor. So we spent the next week just partying, having a great time in Newfoundland. So we got along great after that.
Well, speaking of good friends, Wade, you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome to the Power Hour. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm there. Wade, are you there?
So, yeah, boys, you just cut out there for a second, but nice to be on. How's things tonight?
Well, we're going for the worst show in history on the BS show tonight, but how are we doing so far?
I thought it was great. I was entertained. And how much talking I've done with you, I figured I wouldn't have heard anything new, but that all sounded new to me. I don't think I heard any of those stories.
Well, we're missing old Boyd tonight, because Boyd, I don't know if he knows yet, but he's got that huge project on the go, and it all launches tonight. So he's literally working 24 hours a day right now.
Well, my big laugh with Boyd this week was, I don't know if you saw his Halloween picture, but he went out as a nerd, so he didn't even dress up.
Yeah, I know, I love it. But, yeah, it's a pretty big project he's working on. They're switching all of the hospitals in Nova Scotia are being switched onto one big file system, so they can just pull up your medical history, all of your history, regardless of where you're from or, you know, what pharmacy you deal with or any. He's been spearheading that for the last year, and tonight.
So you got nothing to do with that project, do you, Trash?
Oh, I just oversee it like I do everything else. You know?
You're supposed to say no, and I'm going to go, thank God.
Yeah. But, yeah, so my suggestion is please don't get hurt or injured within the next 24 hours.
Oh, nice. I want to plan a trip to Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you got to come down here, brother.
That's what I'm thinking. We got to get down there. But I don't know what you guys were planning on talking about, but I'm pretty excited about the ECC. We got a few things that we're talking about lately. Today we had a nice conversation about doing kind of a Bellator 8-man tournament where there'll be the 8 guys. We'll do it in 3 events. So it'll be the 8 guys show up, and then the winners before 2, and then the champion. And what's cool about it is I think we can get probably at 135 the best guys in Canada on board for this one. So basically the winner of this event is a shoe-in for the UFC, I'm thinking.
Well, what happened to the other idea of having them all in one night? That was what we were talking about like a month ago or so.
Yes. Things had changed as far as commission goes, and it got a little, complicated, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I think we got to do it in 3 events.
So they got nervous over it.
Which is really cool. Which is really cool, too, because if we set it up right, it'll just build on itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But the challenge is we need the best guys in Canada, right? So what I want to know is I want to know who those best guys are, and I want to get them here and get them involved in this event. Because, you know, if basically when Tom Wright's in town, he says, you know what, we want to talk to any local promoter, we want to help local promoters, and this sort of talk, then that's fantastic. I want to talk to Tom Wright, too, and I want to have a conversation about if we set this tournament up and basically decide who's the best 135-pounder in the country, then does that make them a shoe-in? Does that put them on? Could they put us in a situation where, you know, they talk about helping small-time promoters? So let's put their money where their mouth is and say the winner of this tournament, if we do in fact get, let's say most of the top 10 135ers involved, gets a contract with the UFC, something like that. How cool is that?
It's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, whether or not they're going to pay attention is a whole different ball game. It's too bad
true.
We're going to lose.
They talked about it.
It's too bad we're going to lose the 8-man. Yeah. I'm kind of bummed out we're going to lose the 8-man tournament in one night. I thought that would have been cool.
But, hey, let me jump in and make a comment on that, guys. I don't know if either one of you guys just watched Battleground MMA's 8-man one-night tournament, but I'll tell you what. First of all, I thought that by the end, we didn't see the best fighters that could possibly fight because they were so exhausted. The Oklahoma Commission allowed 3 5-minute rounds for each round of the tournament. But I felt that judging, trying to push those fights through one night, I thought the judges were trying to get things done quickly maybe and not pay attention to the whole fight because of how long the night drug out. But towards the end, I thought the judging started to become an issue in the fights and the outcomes of the fights, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, I can see that point. I mean, maybe the idea is better than reality.
And so, I'll be honest, it's hard to sell a bunch of fans to sit there for 5 hours, you know, while this plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's now, definitely Wade, challenges.
No, Wade, I knew you were excited today. I heard it. I saw you tweeting. We raised a little bit of stink, I think, last week on the show. There was a lot of talk after last week's episode.
There sure was. And I was excited about it because I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's play on this. Let's give these guys a battleground. I'd love to be able to, provide that opportunity.
Now, Skip, did you get any feedback from last week's episode?
Well, I mean, obviously we get a lot of positives about what you and Boyd do on the BS show. I mean, fans just love it. Every time, almost every time since you guys have done the show, you guys have been number one in the rankings, which is crazy, especially because I'm over 230 shows. I have a hell of a loyal following, but you seem to always just beat me. You know, it's crazy, but it's good. But I'll tell you what, I think the conversation did spark a lot of debate to the point where
okay,
we felt
Okay, so Skip,
it,
hold on a second. I want to blow your mind. The guys that you're talking about, I want to blow Skip's mind for a second. So the guys that you guys were talking about in the last show, they're both 135. So we want to get them involved in this tournament. And, in fact, they'd be we'll match them up so that they're the first fight on our next card. How cool is that?
I think multiple aspects of it are super successful. You know, first of all, as a promoter, I mean, look, as a fan, I'm a blind draw tournament kind of guy. I believe that's the fairest. But as a promoter, looking at that as a possible opening round matchup on my tournament, it's a no-brainer. It's definitely – because you know what? You're going to sell – twice as many tickets because half the people are going to want to see one guy and Michael lose, and the other half are going to want to see him get vindicated with a win. You know, so
exactly.
I mean,
I guess we could talk to the guys and make it random, but I think they want to fight each other bad enough that you know what? Why not start it out with a bang?
I agree, and I started to say there's been so much talk about it that we ended up kicking the second hour guests this Wednesday, and we're bringing him on for a 1 hour sit down, no holes barred. I'll ask him whatever I damn well choose to, and he'll answer however he wants to, and nothing's off the table. But I want this kid to have a chance to speak his mind openly on a public platform with MMA media, letting him say his piece and not be edited down, not be corrected, not be pre-written. I want to know, and I want the fans to know who this man truly is. That being said, though, I think
that's awesome.
I think it's the only fair thing to do. That's what we are. We're down the middle.
Awesome.
Media doesn't take sides. You work for Zuffa, you take sides, but we don't work for them, so we're down the middle. And everybody gets a fair shot with me, but putting that as an opening fight, pumping that as a promotion, the man the UFC banned, the guy who got him banned, opening 8-man tournament, ECC, oh my God, the promos, wow, yes, the publicity, the media hype. Dude, it's a no-brainer. You got to do it.
Man, I'm ready to buy a ticket right now. I'm ready to go. I'm not going to take sides on who was right and who was wrong. I don't really give a shit. If there's two guys at that level that hate each other, holy shit, man, I want to pay to see that one. It gets a little different when there's some personal involved.
And both these guys got a lot of talent.
That's what I mean.
It's not just a silly matchup. It's both these guys got a lot of talent, and this is a very interesting fight. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Hope I can do it.
Oh my God, that, dude.
Yeah,
like, I'm telling you right now, man. I'm looking at this like 50 different ways as a promoter right now, thinking, man, there's so many ways. Grudge match, whatever you want to call it, you know, bragging rights. You know, is did this fight's to prove who's right? I mean, you got so many ways to go with this, man. Wow, I love it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Me too.
Man. Oh yeah. I'll tell you.
I'll
tell you, if I was in this boat, if I was one of these guys right now, I'd be ready to rip the other guy's head off. Like, really,
oh, yeah.
Really go at it. This is a lot more than a fight. This is, you know, this is a lot more than a regular cage match we would see. This is real deep, and you're going to see the best come out of these guys. I'm excited.
Now, you know, okay, we know right now in this tournament that we could possibly see from you guys. And by the way, real quick, just in case people around the world, because I know right now I'm getting a lot of hits from other countries and other states, introduce yourself, because you're friends to us. So first of all, why don't you introduce yourself to the fans around the world and tell them your position?
Me? You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, my name's Wade Graves. I'm part owner in the ETC, which is Extreme Cage Combat. I'm a big fan of the sport, been a fan of the sport since, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, and I was in elementary school, and I was the toughest kid in my elementary school, and I had the other toughest kid in the other elementary school down in Spahn's Flats, and we fought with a big crowd. I don't know if it's just Ontario or what, but that was how it grew up, man, and I just loved it. And now that I've met real tough guys, I realize that I'm not about the cage, so that's good to know. But at the same time, I love the sport, and I want to promote the sport. And I'm not quite as cool as Trash Canyon, but I'm real goddamn close because I'm Canadian Art Wrestling Champion. I'm a repo man. You know, just a super cool dude.
As long as we got the pecking order down, we're all right.
Hey, I got to say, I watch a lot of professional arm wrestling overseas on Fightbox, and, dude, Trash Canyon, you know you're my hero. I got a little, like, doll in my cabinet, an old wrestling 80s doll. I feed it a shot of rum and a cigar every night and pray to you, but, man, arm wrestling champs are some bad mother... let me tell you what.
Oh, man, it's a wicked sport. Wade's got me poking around it a little bit, and it's fascinating. I mean, how much technique and skill goes into what they do. It's wicked.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun at it. And then as far as the MMA goes, I've had the opportunity to be involved with a promotion. And this is what I was talking to. I was talking to a really cool guy earlier tonight. His name's Gavin Tucker, one of the toughest guys out here right now. He's talking about having a fight on our next card, and I couldn't be more excited because I really want to see this guy's career grow like I think it can. And so here I am, not a fighter, not a trainer, and I'm thinking, where do I fit in? Like, I love the sport. Well, maybe it's a promoter. So one of the arm wrestlers first told me, he said, you know, because there was guys that were getting injured and dropping off and wouldn't come back around the sport, and it's, you can be a referee, you can be a promoter, you can be on the commission, and if you love something, you know, obviously, I mean, I would love to be Bones Jones, but that's not happening for me. So where do you fit in? How do you make a sport grow? How do you have a positive contribution towards something? Well, hopefully it's with the promoting aspect. And if I can help some of these guys grow, you will not see a happier man than Wade Graves.
Now, Kay, we're talking happy and watching the sport grow. You're talking about bringing something that I believe needs to be brought back, and that's the tournament format. I believe that Bellator is really dumb to get away from it. Whole nother story. You mentioned two of the gentlemen that you would like to see open the tournament. Let's hear some other names that you think would make great, you know, people in this tournament, you know?
Well, you know what? We got our champion, Sid Bernier. He hasn't been involved with ECC in a little bit. Love to see him get back involved. Michael Spallini, and he's got a big fight coming up here in Quebec this month. I'd love to see him get involved with this tournament. And basically, I'm going to put the word out here tomorrow, I think, to a bunch of guys, don't want to call anybody out or nothing, but that I think are the best in Canada and would love to see them be involved with this format, because it's the format that we have to use based on the challenges of dealing with, you know, commission and rules and everything, which, you know, have come a long way, and those guys are doing a great job as well. So the excitement just rolls. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, what weight class are you talking for that tournament, Wade?
135.
I'll tell you, there would have been a wicked matchup, because I just got word Morgan Rhymes, but he's dropping down in weight, I guess. He's going down to 125, and he's going to fight that, or he wants to fight. They've been talking back and forth on social media, and, you know, very gentlemanlike, but he wants to fight Mike Davis, but I think that's at 125.
Now, there's a guy that his name is obviously in the mix. We would love to have him on board for this challenge, right?
Those guys do want to fight each other right now.
So, okay, looking at the long term of this tournament, how would we see it play out? Are we going to see an event every 45 days, every 90 days? Are you going to try to wrap it up in a 12-month period?
You know what? In Nova Scotia, if we're able to set up a situation where we can move the event maybe to three different venues, thus bringing out three different audiences that are excited about it, we might be able to do it in 9 months. So, say, three months apart.
I like that.
And that would work good for our environment, right? And then, you know, basically what excites me about it is at the end of the day, we got a guy that there's no doubt that he's ready for the UFC. He's going to kick some ass. Like, Kalades, when he won his fight there, man, and I don't even really know the guy that good, but I bet you I was as happy and as excited as his family, for Christ's sake.
I went to his after party.
Go ahead.
How was it? I missed that. I was in Florida with my family. How was it?
Oh, it was an awesome time. I had a great chat with TJ Grant, Tristan Johnson, Maverick Cox was there, Kalades. I mean, it was a great time, and I got to pick Scott's brain a little bit, and, you know, what a thrill for him now. He's got two fighters out of his camp in the UFC, and you know, really take my hat off.
Well, you know, all the events that camp's been involved with, I mean, there's no doubt those guys are all professionals, right? So
it's
it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's like the old adage, what do they say, when preparation meets opportunity, success.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go with your little Hallmark phrase of the day. I know you want to see Hollett back here, but I don't know if we'll ever see him back here.
Oh, I totally want to see Hollett. I mean,
I know you do.
Being a fan,
you love
him. Being a fan of the sport, that's one of my favorite dudes, man. I used to get so excited watching his first few fights at the Forum down there. And yeah, if he could get back involved in the sport, I mean, somehow drop down to 185 and facilitate a fight against who's the guy? Jimmo. I'd love to see him fight Jimmo, but that's probably not going to happen. But back in the day, that was a fight that, you know, they talked about Hollett dominating. And after Jimmo's success in the UFC, you wonder, right? So I'd love to see something like that down the road, or something that would just facilitate him getting back as far as a shot into the UFC. That would be a highlight, you know, if being a promoter is a career thing for me, or fun thing for me, that would be the tops of it. Just love it. I watched his career develop. It'd just be fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. It would be good to see Matt McGrath back in here, but I don't know if we can ever get him back.
There's another guy that's right on the edge, right? Matt. I mean, you'll see him there. He'll make it. He's good enough. He's tenacious enough. It's going to happen. It's just... I don't know if you know the word very well, but it's called serendipity, and he's put enough into the sport that it's going to happen for him.
I like to keep things two syllables or less at all times.
So, Wade, let me ask you, away from the promoter side, as a fan of the sport, where you live right now, and where, you know, you're seeing the local scene develop, I mean, Are you that surprised, like the rest of America and the world, to see you just, you know, reeled off a bunch of names and a bunch more that are coming from your region and making pretty big waves around the world in the bigger, you know, promotions?
No, not really, because it's all about belief. And when you, we've been fortunate enough to have a couple guys break through. And when you have a guy break through, the guys underneath them have belief. And from there, the sky's the limit. Because, and I haven't had the opportunity, but I'm going to throw his name out there, is Danny Patterson. He, you know, he kind of bleeds something like belief. And you guys had him on the show, and I listened to him, and I really enjoyed it. And I want to get my kids who are potential hockey players down just to chat with him. But it's about belief. We've had some champions, like, you know, TJ Grant is a champion. The way his career went, and, I mean, the pinnacle knocking out Gray Maynard, phenomenal. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but I was in Montreal when he fought Hendricks, and Hendricks barely won that fight. And we know, at the time, we didn't know who Hendricks was, but now we do. So TJ Grant is a champion, and he's got guys working with him. And does it surprise me that they're excelling? No. And we have all kinds of other guys that, you know, again, I'm going to talk about Peter Martel, my partner with the ECT. What he's achieved with the jiu-jitsu and getting guys going with the sport up here. No, I'm not surprised at all. We got all kinds of talent. Now, on the outside looking in, the only thing I would like to see happen, I'd like to see all these guys work together more, because they're all so talented and they all have different facets of their game, that if they work together more, like some of the camps that are sort of rivalries, if they could travel back and forth more and the doors could open, that you could learn from this guy and learn from that guy without, you know, I don't know, it feels like being a traitor or being whatever it is. I can't even understand it, to be honest. I think we would even be better, because this is a tough neck in the woods. They're all hard workers from here. They're all, you know, just tough guys. I think generally Canadians are tougher than Americans. Sorry, Skippy.
Hey, no, look, I'm not American, man. I grew up in Europe, man. I got here after my first marriage.
What?
Okay, so, like, I didn't grow up here in America. I mean, I've been here for, like, 17 years now. So, I mean, I don't claim to be...
I was joking. I just threw that in there.
Okay. Okay. This is going
to
blow your mind before I ask you this fan question, but I was raised by Hispanic Jews in Germany, man, and so, you know, I grew up really confused. I tell you, man. I got a fan question here. It says, Is Gavin Tucker been injured, or is he just taking extra time to prepare? He has not fought almost a year since February.
Yep. No. Gavin Tucker had a shoulder injury a year ago, or, you know, about that time, and been recovering from it, and is totally ready to go. Now, he was in the top 10 for Canucks as far as his weight class when he was active. He just dropped out of the top 10, and what they said, basically it's reported as due to inactivity. So he's training 100%, he's working 100%, and he's ready for a fight. And from what I know from my conversation with him tonight is that he'd like to fight on the ECC card at the end of February. And we're just trying to figure out who the proper opponent is. And no matter where that fight falls, I'm going to be most excited about it. Because as far as I'm concerned, Gavin might be the best guy in Nova Scotia right now.
Well, we hear his name kicked around a lot, Skip. And I'm sure you've picked up on his name many times because it's kind of thrown around. And I haven't said too much about Gavin Tucker. But Gavin Tucker is the real deal. He is as real as it fucking gets, man. And to watch, and I don't think anybody is going to dispute this, I truly believe that he is the top 145er in this country. And anybody from this area is certainly going to stand by my side and agree with this, because he is a real – there's not a fighter that will argue that.
You know, that's – I'd say one of the blessings, you know, that I have with – you know, starting with Carl all those years ago with Madhouse and working my way up. I mean, to see some of the talent that's floating around the country or overseas or in Canada that maybe the quote-unquote Zuffa zombies or people who are more mainstream to the top four organizations in the world don't know about yet, it is like Christmas to me. Like you mentioned guys like, you know, Gavin. I'd mentioned guys like Gian Herrera. There's these great young athletes who are coming up in different parts of the world that are just let's be honest, they're the future. They're the next evolution of the sport. And I think it's funny when, you know, these people only can name, you know, the last four fighters on the last UFC pay-per-view card, you know, where we're talking, and obviously you've railed off a half a dozen names tonight of fighters that every fan listening to the show should be Googling and following on Twitter, Facebook, because these are the future, folks. This is what we have the blessing to do.
These guys are 5-0, 6-0, 7-1. I mean, they're up-and-comers, and they've been training every facet of the sport. They weren't boxers that turned this and this that turned that. These are guys that train boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu from the time they were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 years old. So it's just phenomenal how far this thing has gone, and I love it. Like I really am a true fan, right? So that you guys are putting on, it's awesome.
You made a great point right there. I mean, and this is no disrespect or to anybody's talent or level, but let's take a fighter like Chuck Liddell, okay? He had a little bit of wrestling. He's mostly a brawler.
One of my favorites. I actually got the opportunity to train with Chuck in Toronto at the expedition there and spent an hour with him. And just in awe. I think he punched me in the mouth one time, and he's kind of looking like, is this guy going to sue me? And he couldn't knock the smile off my mouth. And I think he made a comment saying, I don't know if I can knock the smile off your face. And it was
That's
awesome.
Cool.
But, yes,
That's
you're right.
Cool.
You know, what he brought to the game, you know, to what we have now, it's rudimentary, right?
Oh, yeah, because
of course,
I mean,
trash, that was too many syllables for trash.
Yeah, well, I just wish you got up. I wanted to hear Skippy's story. No one cares how you get punched in the mouth.
But you know, it comes down to the point he was making. You know, we got kids like a kid I cut for, I believe, the world of, Ben Bagbeek, 14-year-old. Number one in the world, gi, no gi, has been doing kickboxing for 5 years now. He also does judo, and he wrestles. And this kid, his goal is to go to the UFC. That's the next generation to come behind guys like Gavin. You know, the guys like Chuck trained one way. Guys like Gavin, they train eight. The next generation is going to train 16. And that's what's beautiful about this sport is – it's truly ever-evolving, especially technically, which I find beautiful. I love seeing these more technical fighters today. It's art.
It really is. And you know, here I am talking about Gavin, but it's just because I've had the pleasure, really, of meeting him personally. And, you know, this guy lives his life like a Nike shoe commercial. I mean, that's the way he trains every day. And it's insane, man. He eats everything right. He lives it 24/7. And when you meet somebody like that, you stand back and you just go, wow, man. Like, look at the conviction that this guy has on his goal. And his goal is so clear in his mind. And there's no distractions. It's almost a pleasure when you meet someone like that. And you appreciate it. Not many people can do that.
No, you're right. And so that's when I've seen that, and you just appreciate it, and it kind of grows on you, and you start to root for it, right? Because it's just one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't help.
You know,
and I'm sure there's lots of those guys out there, but what I'm saying is I've had the opportunity to know him and see him and watch him, and that's the reason.
No, but Rick,
there's not a lot of guys.
Look, I say this all the time, and people like to argue with me, but you have goats, you have guys who are 2 through 4, you guys have guys 5 through 10, and that's all they're ever going to be. Okay, when we see goats developing, or 1, 2, 3s developing as amateurs into their early pro career, and we can see that spark of greatness, it's rarer anymore because there's so many fighters. You have too many good fighters. So when you see a phenomenal, just well-rounded, great all-around fighter, like somebody like Gavin, it's a spark that fans draw to more than maybe a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, anybody that trains in this sport and not necessarily fight, I mean, you realize the sacrifice that someone goes through to live this lifestyle 24/7. I mean, when I was getting ready, I mean, I gave it pretty hard. I really did. But I mean, there was times I was still sneaking a cheeseburger or a beer. You know what I'm saying? This guy doesn't take those shortcuts. And it's an honor sometimes to just sit back and watch somebody like that.
Well, Mike Tyson said it best in that interview a couple months ago on OPB Radio. They said, you know, he said, "I lived every day of my life like I was a champ. No matter what I did it like a champ. I knew in my head I was the champ, and someday it would be so." You know, Gavin probably has that same style mentality. Everything he does, he needs it to be the absolute best so he can develop and push and be better. You know, so that, you know, and that's a rare thing. It's hard. I know fighters who are 99.9% dedicated, but like you, they might slip that cheeseburger or skip a gym session because they want to hang out with their old lady. You know, these things happen. A kid gets sick and you're like, I'm going to stay home because I know he's not feeling good. The wife's tired of taking care of him. But it's that 0.1% that certain fighters put in that make the difference between a champion and a goat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would always take shortcuts when I was training all the time. I remember one time Martel made us go down this hill. made us go down this hill, and we had to do lunges all the way to the bottom of the hill and all the way back up. And he was just standing at the top. Well, about a quarter of the way down, I realized I didn't have to actually do a lunge. I kind of had to dip down because he could just see the heads bobbing up and down. The only one that did the whole thing, I think, was Goodfellow. Did every one. He wouldn't cheat on one. He was just glaring at me because I was walking beside him just bobbing.
That's the kind of accountant I want right there.
Yeah, that's why I'm no Gavin Tucker.
I love it. We talked a little bit about, you know, your plans for the future there and the tournament, but away from the tournament, are you guys got some fights you're working on that maybe you could give us a little insight to?
It's mostly based around that tournament, and then the other fight will be Gavin. Gavin, you know, I want to get him on the card because I want to see what his career is going to do. It excites me, right? And then from there, no, I don't really know. We need to get amateurs developed at the same time, like Boyd said. So we're working on get a bunch of them on the card. Amateur fights are new to Nova Scotia. We don't have a huge population here, right? For all of Nova Scotia, we only have 1 million people. So break that down to fighters. And, you know, we're trying to get amateurs going. So there's a few of them, but there's not enough of them quite yet. And, you know, obviously, if there's any gyms out there listening and they got guys ready, you know, Tex Wade Graves, Extreme Cage Combat, and we'll look at these guys and try our best to get them matched up and get their careers going, because that's what excites us, right? Like any, you know, guy gets into the UFC that comes out of our promotion, I'm fired up, man. Elias Toradoro, you know, he was our middleweight champ. He gets in there. You know, it's fun. That's the part that excites me. I mean, there's no monetary value, but it's a reward nonetheless.
Let me, you know, you talked about the amateur. You're a promoter. You've dealt with pros. You understand, you know, what it takes. This week's poll question on Madhouse is, what is needed more in today's MMA world, pro events or amateur events? What's your opinion?
I think there's a combination, right? You know, it needs to grow together, and these guys need to be developed. Each guy, you know, if you're – I had this conversation with Pete today, and, you know, basically it's like, you know, if you're running an amateur organization, when do you send these guys pro? You know what? If you're 5-0, you're 6-1, then you need to be thinking about pro because there's not enough competition there. But if you're 2-2 or you're 2-3, then, you know, some more amateur fights are going to do you good. So that's where we need to be. We need to be just working on developing these guys and making them better, because there's a guy that's going to go 5-0 that's going to hit pro and be terrible. And there's a guy that's going to go 0-5 in amateur, but then have 5 more fights in amateur and come into his zone and be good. So we just need to be positive with everybody, pushing everybody in the right direction, trying to help everybody. And again, you know, the way I live my life is, if I can help somebody a little bit, it's going to come back to me somehow. So we just want to help, right? You know, not being said, if ECC could make money on an event, that'd be super cool as well. But the idea is to facilitate the sport, facilitate these guys, and just enjoy life and help people, right? I had a brother who had muscular dystrophy. We just did a fundraiser that raised $12,000 for muscular dystrophy, and I've never been prouder of myself. So it's all these little things that you do in life that make you proud, right? And yeah, I know rich people that are unhappy, and I know poor people that are happy and unhappy. So it doesn't have to do with that. It's more what you give is what you get. And if you can help people and you can facilitate people to achieve their goals and dreams, there's no monetary value to that. It's fantastic. And I've been so proud of myself for the little bit of input that I've had so far. So I can't wait to get to this next level and really facilitate a bunch of people to achieve their dreams and goals. And, you know, if Whitlock can come beat this guy up and all of a sudden end up in the UFC, that would make me happy. But you know what? If the other guy, and I'm going to try to remember, Michael Imperatov.
Yep.
You know, if he wins and he gets himself, now all of a sudden he convinces Dana White that, you know what, I said something stupid and I understand now that it's stupid, and totally, you know, changed my life, and I get myself now, when am I able to get myself back in there? Is that, you know, what do I have to do now? Like, you know, you can apologize, you can do whatever. To get him, to facilitate him back there, that would fucking be phenomenal. Because here's a guy who's obviously, you know, made mistakes and he's down and out. And I don't even know the story, to be honest with you. I mean, I just dribs and drabs. But, you know, that's the type of thing that excites me. And I would be I'd be proud to be a part of that story. You know what I mean? I don't even need to benefit from it. I just proud to be a part of it.
Well, Wade, I'm poor and I'm unhappy, so if it would make you feel good, I can take a check. You can write that out to Rick Trashcan and Doyle if you don't mind.
Oh, hey, hold on, son. Pump the brakes right there. You got to get in the cage during your pay.
I'm too old and feeble for that.
Oh, come on now. I just heard recently they're doing the Senior Citizen League. We're going to get you in there.
No, don't laugh. Trash is about to embark on a pro boxing match, I think. It's going to be a blast.
It.
I can't wait to see him train for it. And those are the things that excite me, too. It's not even about getting somebody to the UFC or nothing like that, but a guy like the Trash Man who, you know, to be honest with you, my heart goes out to him. Some of the shit that he's done, he trains his ass off. He fights. I went to one of his wrestling matches, and I can't even believe it. Like, the shit and abuse that a dude will take, right? So he's professional wrestling. He's going to do a pro boxing match. He's done a pro MMA match. It's
blowing my head up now, boy.
He's ugly, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, here I considered myself the Brad Pitt of the area here.
Yeah, I had to throw something in there.
I appreciate the words, Wade. Well, that's not confirmed the boxing match. I'm just considering it right now.
I'd love to, but it's an option. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Can you imagine?
Right?
I would bring Nogler up to get me ready. I mean, that would just be a dream team for me. I mean,
if you brought Nog up, I would definitely fist pump him.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be nice to get over maybe and do a little with Tristan Johnson, too, because, I mean, that guy's
shit.
Does Skippy
know anything about Nogler?
No, Nogler's. Well, he saw his bare knuckle fight.
Yeah.
Okay, Skippy, you watch that bare knuckle fight?
I've seen a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not Skip's thing, but just to know Nogler, I've never met a tougher man in my life. Like you cannot be any tougher than what that guy is.
It's not only about toughness though with Nog for me, because I mean I've actually met a bunch of tough guys, but I don't respect any of them as much as I respect Nog. He's just a wholesome dude, and like there's something about him that just requires respect no matter what, you know.
And he loves knuckle bumps.
And he does like to bump the knuckles. That's why I made that.
100 times a night. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, Rick, I've seen a lot of bare knuckle. I like to watch the traditional hemp rope tie boxing. I think that's that and the Cambodian style, which is, I would say, a little bit more aggressive in nature and more demanding and strikes and less artful than traditional Muay Thai. But, you know, that's tomatoes, tomatoes to some people. But I think it takes a whole nother level of person to want to fight either bare-knuckled or, you know, rope-wrapped without a padded system. I think there's a lot of fighters maybe even in the UFC that would be willing to do it, you know, knowing what the pay could be and all that kind of stuff if it was financially feasible. But I think today they go the safer route with padded gloves. I just think it takes a truly, truly different kind of tough guy to step in there and bare-knuckle it up.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if there's going to be any more. I know they've had two. We've been down to two. But, I mean, what they tried to do with that, DirecTV actually owned it, and they wanted to come up with their own sport. So what they did, they said, okay, boxing's kind of on the downslide right now. We're going to see if we can take that and make it more exciting. So the idea was they made the gloves smaller. So they went down. It's probably about an 8-ounce glove that they're wearing, you know, that's not a very big glove. And they cut the knuckles out of the top of it to call it bare knuckle fighting. But that was more of a gimmick. You know what I mean? Like your knuckles were exposed a little bit, but really there's not that much impact from the knuckles themselves. And then they had a huge setup. They had Michael Buffer there, and they kind of fought down in a pit, and the walls came up from the side, and they had a very small area in order to fight. So basically they were standing there and banging. There was nowhere to run. The crowd loved it. It was very exciting, but I don't know how they did on the ratings. I haven't heard of any since then. So, but you know what the funny thing is? Here's the power of social media. I took that fight and put that on my own personal Facebook page just to share it. And I don't do that shit much, so I don't really follow how that stuff works. But it went from my Facebook to over 100,000 views on YouTube. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, today's social media is a really great way to get stuff out there, especially exciting, you know, fights.
Somebody told me I should have monetized it. I would have made some money, but I didn't have a clue how to do that.
Well,
but anyway,
if the content originally was yours and you filmed it, yeah, you could have monetized it. Like, I monetized that Brian Jones Jr. video, the guy who's coming on your show on the 17th, the Muay Thai champ, and I got 800,000 off of his.
Holy shit. Well, no, this is just stuff I stole. But anyway, we should get this wrapped up here soon. I wanted to do a couple of shout-outs here anyway tonight. Wade, thank you.
Hey, before you jump on the shout-outs, Wade, why don't you give any shout-outs you want to give, whether it be sponsors, information to find you guys on social media, or just thank yous to whoever you'd like.
Okay, thanks, Skippy. Yeah, you know what? We've had a lot of help from some people in our community. It's Acadia Fish and Chips. It's Cars R Us, Repo Sales. The other thing is what I want to talk about, Skippy, though, is you're in Oregon.
Yeah.
With Team Quest is close to you, right?
Oh, good friends. Well, I love them guys.
I've had some conversations on email and whatever with Team Quest where they're talking about coming up for a fight for ECC. And what would be really cool, and just to put it out there, if some of those guys are listening, is if we could do like a Canada versus U.S. and have, say we got our Atlantic Canada guys, we put together six or seven guys and bring six or seven guys from Team Quest up and do a Canada versus U.S. Some of it could be amateur, some of it could be pro. I think that would be a winner.
I love it. I'm telling Aaron Hall to hop on the show. I'm like, dude, get on this link and listen to this show.
Oh yeah, and then you got to come up. I'll take you maritime style,
dude. I'll tell you what, I'd be all over that, man. I think that's a great thing. Obviously, Team Quest is. Come on, let's be honest. It's a legendary gym. I mean, Matt Lindland, you know, owns and runs it. But I mean, think about the names who grew
Absolutely.
Up building that. You know, I mean, it's a legendary gym. I mean, everybody.
Absolutely.
From Matt, you know, I mean, I literally sit here and could spin my wheels for 30 minutes naming off names. You know, I mean, so I love it, and I think you know that whole Canada versus U.S. a great sell, great sell.
And, of course, we're brothers, right? You know, but at the same time,
oh, yeah.
Who doesn't like to see brothers compete?
No, dude, that's the whole thing. That's the thing. I mean, like, dude, you could so sell this. And I know Team Quest has a great mix of pro and amateur talent in their gyms and stuff. I mean, you could easily match up some great fights, you know, and maybe, you know, you do one up there and then you turn around and you guys come down here because – You know,
that's what I was going to say. There's no reason we can't. There's no reason we couldn't bring the show your way too. We bring six or seven or eight guys down with the ECC program and have a venue that puts off a good show.
I guarantee you put the names behind ECC and the and your lineage of fighters and Team Quest and their promotion show sport fights. And their lineage of fighters, the history behind those matchups is unreal. I mean, I think it's great that you're even willing to consider this because too many promoters these days are afraid to do something like this because you're no longer the big name per se. You now have a co-big name, you know, and it seems like promoters here in America are afraid to do that. And I like the fact that you say, hey, look, let's get Team Quest and let's get their fighters and let's bring them out here to Canada and let's match them up against our guys here at ECC. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a super great idea.
That's awesome. Well, here's the thing, though, Skippy. I'm involved in the sport because I love the sport. I'm involved in the sport because I want to see people grow. And as an individual, you know, there's times when I'm selfish, yes. But I really have fed off of people around me doing well. I have no success over people around me not succeeding, if that makes any sense. I don't know. But
I don't.
This is what I bring to the table. This is who I am. This is what I want to be. So if I can dig my heels into this and I can help people grow and bring the sport, you know, just make it better, be involved, right? I just truly enjoy it.
Well, you know, hey, just you know, for all the fans that are just not tuning in, especially our Team Quest buddies, you know, why don't you mention again what you'd like to see done?
I would like to do a Team Quest or, you know, surrounding area, I guess, put together a team that could come and either fight here or we could bring a team there and have a U.S. versus Canada ECC, I think it'd be phenomenal.
I love it, and I know, like I said, I we cut very hard. You know, they're one of the people that we proudly call a sponsor of MMA Madhouse because they support us and local MMA like no other. They've always been very open-hearted, you know, to helping grow the sport. And right now, Aaron Hall said to give you his number so you can call him so you guys can start chatting ASAP. You know, these guys are like you, and I cut for what you guys do very hard. You guys are very professional. You guys bring it right. You guys promote and build legitimate fighters through your organization, the same that Team Quest has done. So I think you're talking a West Coast legend and an MMA legend in Team Quest and an East Coast because you're on the East Coast. You know, that's a great East-West, you know, U.S., Canada. You're legendary, you know, fighters that have fought for you guys and trained around there in that area. I love it, and I'll make sure – well, Rick's getting a wrap up. I pull you aside and give you his number.
Well, I'll tell you, man, if we get something like this pulled together on this show, if something comes of this, then this show was very worthwhile, and it did exactly what Boyd and I had hoped to accomplish when we started this thing. You know, that's huge. That's huge. Go to work, boys. See what you can do. Anyways, I got to wrap this whole thing up right now. A couple of things.
You get to work.
Yeah, I know. What do we got coming on here? We've got Fight for the Cure, which is a pro wrestling event that's coming up on Saturday, November 8th. That's on PEI. That's put on by Red Rock Wrestling. And from what I understand, there's going to be Matt McGrath is going to be there. Professor Abel is going to be there. And Jason Sago. We had hoped to have Mr. Sago on the show tonight, but obviously with the problems, we just rescheduled him till next week. We've got the Fight First events coming up November 28th at Olympic Hall. That's 7:30. And next week on the show, we'll be talking about that event in a little more depth. As well, I noticed today there was something that popped up. It was the Submission Series 902. That's an invitational BJJ tournament, and that's going to be they've got that for Friday, January 23rd. And I saw Jack Cameron had that posted, so I'm sure we're going to hear some more about that. And I noticed something on the internet last week that I want to look into as well, that Kent Peters, which is he's been on the show before, Skip, with Zombie Proof. There's going to be a match, a BJJ match between him and Gavin Tucker. And that's huge. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I don't know if it's at that tournament or not, or where it's going to happen. So I'll find out some more details on that. And we'll just go from there. So those are all the local notes that I had to pass on. Folks, if you have anything that you'd like talked about on the show, if you'd like to be a guest on the show or a host on the show, or you just have some stuff you want us to talk about, please feel free to put it on the Facebook or contact one of us. That way we know what you guys want to hear or who you want to hear. So it helps us out. So that's all I got to say, Skipper. He's gone. He's always gone at the end. Wade, are you still there? Oh, I guess we're going to end the show with the way we started. Could possibly be the worst BS show ever. Thanks a lot, folks, for listening. Bye-bye.